Roboto, Mr. Roboto.
Tomorrow kick to me radio, da 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 da.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio, episode 224. Today we're joined by Ming Chen, talking all about his work in different podcasting realms, as well as from the hit TV show AMC's Comic Book Men. We'll then chat with Gates McFadden about a brand new podcast she's starting with the Nassail Group. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
And for those of you tuning in, maybe finding this show for the first time, welcome to you. My name is James Enstall. I'm the host of Geek to Me Radio. We try to bring you some new interviews in the world of pop culture, TVs, comics, movies, video games. And hopefully you've enjoyed listening if you're a longtime listener. And we thank you for subscribing. You can find it on most places where your podcasts are. Player FM, obviously on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcast as well. And if you would, if you haven't already done so, please leave us a nice 5-star review. That helps optimize our location in the search engines and just kind of gives us a little bit more oomph in our step. So if you could leave us a nice 5-star review, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Without further ado, we've got two guests. Let's get right in. Right now we're live at Big River Con. We've got Ming Chen with me. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for talking with me. We've just been reminiscing about Stan Lee's marvelous New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God. You know, there was a... I've never been in an actual train wreck, but I felt that con was like a Comic-Con version of a train wreck for sure. Imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. You have an all-star lineup. Michael Rooker, Ming-Na Wen, Judge Reinhold, and Stan Lee, the headliner. And imagine, you know, you think, great, this is going to be a great convention, right? They hold it over New Year's Eve weekend, and maybe not the best time to have a convention. I don't think they marketed it very well, and as such, nobody showed up, if you can believe it. I remember walking by Stan Lee's booth. It was Saturday, you know, typically the busiest day of the con. Stan Lee has got no line, and he's playing on his iPhone.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, did they open the doors yet? What's going on? I was like, no, it was like noon. I was like, oh, whoa, this is not good. This is not good. Because, you know, we want to meet the fans. We want big crowds. We want to see people. And there were no crowds. No, there was not. There was no one there. And then, you know, to cap it off, the people organizing the convention just kind of took off sometimes Saturday night and, you know, left. They owed a bunch of people money. There was no staff there on Sunday. It was a show, but we'll never forget it.
That's true. And I think retroactively, knowing that we would have lost Stan in 2018, yep, how many people could go back in time, I'm sure the place would be packed.
Yeah, if you wanted to meet Stan Lee, that was the week to do it, because you could spend a lot more time with them than usual. Yeah. Yeah, usually you meet Stan Lee, you're in line for 3 hours, and you know, you'll get maybe a minute with him, but this time you're like, well, what you want to talk about my favorite albums?
You could have
asked him anything at that point. So, but despite all that, and this is what us geeks do, we make the best of a situation.
That's right.
We both had great weeks. The highlight of that whole convention was the Stan Lee birthday roast. I believe he was turning 93 or 94 that year.
Something like that.
And they asked me last minute if I wanted to be on one of the roasters. And it was tough, man. Like, how do you roast Stan Lee? He's the nicest guy on the planet. So, but I think you were there. I think I did all right. So
you did.
So apparently they had videoed all of this. There's footage of all this. They were going to try to, I don't know, like sell it to Netflix or something. Nobody knows where that footage is. So one day it may see the light of day.
It's one of those lost things. Cause that's one of the things I asked for before I left. I'm like, hey, are you going to have that? I'm happy to buy a copy of the DVD. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll put that up on our website. We'll get that online. Never saw it.
Yeah, so somebody has it somewhere on a an SD card or something. Yeah, but so one day it'll pop up and like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so
yeah.
I thought I did all right. So
you did.
Yeah. I just want to put it on Instagram, my YouTube page maybe.
I've got some stills of you. I can actually text you and show you because it's a still of you with Stanley in the throne sitting next to you. So
I would love to see that. So I you know, we're veterans of that battle though.
Yeah, exactly.
We lived through that. Yeah,
and you're probably one of the busiest guys in podcasting. Every time I turn on Facebook Live, there you are talking to somebody. You've got stuff going on. So when do you sleep?
I don't. You can't. Yeah, it's. I think that's if you're passionate about something, you don't sleep very much.
Yeah.
So you know, you're in the radio, you know, content creation game, and we love it.
Yeah,
we love it. And yeah, I love podcasts. I never thought I would be doing this. I thought I always wanted to be on radio just because of listening to Howard Stern. You know, he made it sound look like so much fun.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, back in the day, we broadcast school and auditions for radio stations. I was like, I don't want to do all that. But now, podcasting, you can kind of. You can grab a handheld recorder. You can go and interview people on the fly. It's so great.
Yeah, just like what I'm doing right now. It's easy.
Yeah, it's so great. And then, by extension, you do, radio podcasting. You go to Comic-Cons, automatically, like, hey, do you want to moderate, the Guardians of the Galaxy panel?
That would be lovely.
Yeah, and they know, we have experience interviewing people, coming up with questions on the fly, not talking over them, kind of gauging the room. We're kind of like, we're born moderators since we've been podcasting so much. So, yeah, it's cool. Podcasting is cool, ladies and gentlemen.
And I know you get the question all the time. I've heard you answer it all the time. When is Comic Book Men coming back? Still the same answer, I take it, whenever AMC decides to get some sense and bring it back?
That's one way it could come back. They own the rights. So lately, what I've been hearing is for any of you Impractical Joker fans out there, we're very good friends with Brian Q. Quinn, one of the cast members. Him and the other guys just signed this huge development deal with Warner Brothers, I think it is. And he's kind of joking around. I think he might be a little serious. Like, hey, I'm going to pitch them the Return of Comic Book Men as part of my deal package. And I was like, hey, man, if you could get that to happen, that would be awesome. And he's got a little power now. That show is huge. And it just had a movie. And, everybody knows who they are. So... right now, I think if anybody, Kevin, obviously, but I think he could make it happen. So I'm ready to go.
Comic Book Men coming soon to HBO Max, maybe then.
See, what we joked around about that, but what somebody reminded me was if you're on HBO Max, no censorship. So can you imagine Brian Johnson being the Brian Johnson, like how he is? I think that could take the show to another level. He is funny. Making fun of people, and he's got a great sense of humor. But him without any censorship, or he can swear and all that. We can swear,
right?
Yeah, this comic effing sucks. Get this crap out of my face. I think that could work.
Absolutely, yeah. It'd be Comic Book Men uncensored. It'd be great
after dark.
Yeah.
Oh, and Kevin Smith, he's no stranger to swearing. Yeah.
On occasion, I've heard him drop an F-bomb or two.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, Kevin being Kevin? I think this could work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're here at Big River Comic Con. What else do you have other cons now that things are starting to reopen? Do you have any other ones that you can announce?
The phone's starting to ring again. It's awesome. I miss this so much, as I'm sure you did. You go to a lot of these as well. But I was going almost every weekend at one point. And I even had people going like, why do you go to so many Comic-Cons? I was like, it's Comic-Con. Why wouldn't I go?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't I? So I'll be at Pensacon next month in Pensacola.
Nice.
That's a great, great convention. I'll be at Comic-Palooza in Houston in July. July. Yeah, I have a few lined up, which is cool. I may be returning to Missouri. I'm hearing there's a show in Cape Girardeau that may want the Comic Book Men to come out.
Nice.
Stay tuned for that, perhaps. But
very cool.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm sure the schedule's going to fill out. And this weekend's been great. It feels like old times again.
Yeah, so, it really does.
Yeah.
And you're going to Pensacon. Make sure to bring your Black Lightning comics. Tony Isabella will be there, so get all those signed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's a great dude, so for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you. Tell everyone where they can find you online, social media handles, and all your plethora of podcasts.
Oh, yeah. So you can follow me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, like OnlyFans, Tinder, like at MingChen37, MingChen37. And then, I run a podcast studio now full time. It's called The Shared Universe. That's ashareduniverse.com. Definitely check that out. If you have questions on podcasting, I'm there to help for sure.
Very cool. Ming Chen, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, my friends. Great to see you again.
You too.
We'll pause there, take our first commercial break, come back and chat with actor Gates McFadden. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Brent Spiner. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. I'd like to make sure we thank our official movie sponsor, Marcus Theaters. Marcus Theaters and Movie Tavern, they just reopened the theater at Mid Rivers Mall here in the greater St. Louis area. And wow, they did it up right. It was very cool. They took Joey and I. Joey's my executive producer, who I always talk about. Makes the show sound as good as it does. They took us on a guided tour of the new facilities all the way up to the top with the projectors and all the way into the kitchen where they make everything from scratch for their all the food that you can get there, and showed us the new theaters. Very proud of it, as well they should be. Marcus Theaters, when they came to St. Louis a few years ago, took over the Wehrenberg Theater chain, and they really kind of upped the game, as it were. It's a great place to go see movies. They came on as a show sponsor, and they are now the official movie sponsor of Geek to Me Radio. We just had a great time seeing Wrath of Man with Jason Statham. Hopefully I did that dramatically enough. Great film. If you get a chance to go out and see it, please do. Really, really excellent. It kind of reminded me of a gritty 70s movie. It's fantastic, and there's no better place to see a movie than at a Marcus Theaters. Like I said, the Mid River Mall is brand new, so they got all the bells and whistles, but you will not be disappointed with your experience at any Marcus Theaters, and they're located in several different states. Go to the website, marcustheaters.com. You can check out a list of shows, find the location closest to you. You can order your tickets right there online. Download the Marcus Theaters app, and you can actually order your concessions through the app, so they're hot and ready and waiting for you when you get to the theater for a more contactless experience. They've made it safe to come back to the movies, and boy, I'm sure glad they did, because that's one of the things I really missed during the pandemic was the movie theaters. So make sure you check them out. MarcusTheaters.com, again, is that website. The best movie-going experience in the galaxy. With that said, talking about in the galaxy, you know her as Dr. Beverly Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation, among so many other roles she's played. Let's talk with her right now.
Right now we're talking with Gates McFadden, brand new podcast coming out, Investigates, Who Do You Think You Are? She's going to be chatting with a lot of her friends and colleagues, and it's going to be a great way to kind of listen in on some intimate conversations. Gates, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. So nice to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you. I've actually met you once at Dragon Con in 2017, and
oh
you were there
God,
with...
No, you're not really expecting me to... Oh, yeah, you were the guy in the red shirt. No.
I'd be disappointed if you didn't. I mean, come on. I had the Vulcan ears. No. But it was such a great time seeing you, and Jonathan was there, and Brent was there, and Marina was there. It was such a great time seeing all of you interact. It's like none of you have missed a step.
Oh, yeah. No, we're really close, which is wonderful. We're so lucky.
And so that must make this venture you're doing easier, because you're just having a conversation with your friends. Basically, it's a very nice little thing to come back, and the fans are going to love it. How did you decide to dip your toe into the podcasting waters?
Well, you know, it was the brainchild of the head of Nacelle, Brian Volk Weiss, who is just awesome, and he, out of the blue, okay, he asked me, called me up and said, "Hi, you know, I just really wonder if you would be interested in doing a podcast, because I think you'd be amazing. I would love for you to do it." And I'm like, "What?" And I think he had in his mind talking about Star Trek. And I said, "Okay, first of all, let me just clear the air on this. There's no way any of my close Star Trek fans want to have a conversation with me about Star Trek. We are talking about that all the time. We talk about other things when we talk to ourselves." And I said, "I just, you know, I couldn't figure it out." So I said, "No, you know." And what was lucky for me is that he's a persistent man, because he kept coming back to me. And finally I went, "You know what? This could be really fun. It's the pandemic. It'll keep me off the streets." and I actually started to say yes. And then I was really excited, and I started to do my research on all of my friends, which was fun, seeing all of their things again. And, you know, I don't know, just looking at their past interviews and things, and then just plunging in. I think I was a little nervous my first couple of ones, but as I kept going, I just started having so much fun. And sometimes it's hilarious, and then other times it's really powerful, some of the things that get talked about. So it's one of those things. I mean, obviously, it's not like the most intimate conversation, but it is actually, it's stuff that we wouldn't talk about on a stage in front of 6,000 people. So hopefully fans are going to have fun and really enjoy it as much as I did.
And as you call him, your space son, Will Wheaton, is big in pop culture, does podcasts all the time. Did you lean on him at all for some advice going forward with this?
Actually, I knew he was so amazing in all this stuff. I said, okay, he was like one of the first ones I wanted to do this with. And I knew he would be a hard nut to crack because he was so used to being the host, right?
Right.
So I came up with a way that we were going to play games. And, you know, if you got a point or lost, you had to, you know, put a penny in this tin thing that people could hear. And it was really, really interesting. It ended up being a double episode. I had such great material, and I still had to lose a bunch of stuff that was great. He's extraordinary. I adore him. And we started by playing Never Have I Ever.
Oh, yes.
And then we got into some ethical questions and then talking about, you know, like, when did you lose your virginity and all kinds of stuff that I think it was really, maybe it's my favorite one in a sense because it's very unusual. I don't think there's ever been a podcast quite like it because we are very close, but yet there's certain things we've never talked about. And we laughed so much. And then we got into some very, very beautiful, just sincere conversation. So I'm hoping people like it as much as I did doing it and editing it.
And I think it's interesting you mentioned with Brian kind of being a little persistent and pushing you to like, hey, this would really be great if you could do that. You had a similar story. You originally turned down the role of Dr. Crusher, and Gene Roddenberry also kind of came to you and said, hey, this would be really great, and kind of presented it to you. It's a widow. She's got an only child, everything like that. So it's kind of a theme, like people kind of being persistent.
I think it's a theme in my life. What is wrong with me? People are offering me the most incredible things, and I keep turning them down, and only because I'm so blessed to have people who really are persistent, I finally go, you know what? Maybe this is a gift from the universe, and I should say yes. True in all cases. And those are not the only two things I've been like that about. I don't know. I guess I'm a very cautious person. I'm not sure what it is.
That's not a bad thing. I mean, caution, usually that's to shield us from danger and everything else. So that's not a bad thing. It's just luckily that the right people have been persistent. We'll put it like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the thing is, it really, I have had this eclectic career. I've done teaching, which just was happened as a fluke. Someone said, here, do you want to do this job? And it just started, and then it snowballed. And I never was out looking for a job. Things would just sort of happen. And the same thing kind of went on with acting in New York and television and then choreography and Star Trek and now the podcast. I mean, I guess this is something I should really celebrate, that things have, you know, that there's something in the universe that's allowing me to keep exploring new things. I love that. It keeps me young in my mind, you know, having to learn how to work all of the mics and the sound equipment. Because, of course, in the pandemic, I had to set up my own sound studio here and do things remotely. And of course, Nacelle had a sound person who was the ultimate sound engineer. But I did do my own all the way through edits. I did the director's cut, you know, which was the final cut. They just made my final cut better. Like, they edged out, you know, the tones or things like that. It was tricky because sometimes people did not have good mics or the Wi-Fi would go out. I did Jonathan was in Maine and there was a big windstorm. It was, you know, but it was very present with everybody. They are a group of amazing people. And in fact, all of the Next Gen cast, but also any of the other, the Voyager and DS9 people I've talked to, and I'm still hoping to talk to a whole bunch of other people, it's really an extraordinary group of actors and human beings. They all care deeply about making the world a better place and collaborating on good projects that will have positive messages. I know that that's something that really strikes me about this whole group, how much they are just great human beings, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Brian Volkwies, we've had him on the show a couple times before to talk about projects. He's brilliant with the stuff that he's creating, whether it's his comedy specials or like the things like The Toys That Made Us. So he's got you in this. I saw a thing that said this is a limited series. Is there a chance that, I'm sure this will take off like gangbusters, that you might be coaxed back to do a second series of these? Or has this been changed to do ongoing?
Absolutely.
Great.
I mean, you know, in the beginning it was 10, but I've already recorded 14. Someone said 18. It's actually 14, but I have other people lined up. So, you know, I was just taking a break because the sound studio gets really tiny.
After a while, sure, I'm sure.
But I have to say, you know, it's really cool working with somebody as a boss who's in a different generation. I adore Brian. He's very down to earth. He's just like who he is, and there's not this formality, and he just doesn't do any BS about stuff. He's direct and he's supportive, and I love his energy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I found him to be a fantastic human being and so knowledgeable, too. The stuff he knows, it's like, I don't understand how you can cram that information in one brain.
We're going to pause right there, come back, and chat more with Gates McFadden. Please stand by.
Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. Chatting with Gates McFadden for the rest of the hour here, and we'd talk to her about her podcast, Brian Volkwies, that we've had on the air a couple times before, the head of Nasale Creations, with all of the projects that they put out. And now with her new podcast, we were just kind of chatting and kind of just musing about Brian Volkwies' impressive knowledge.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, when I first talked to him, he was in some office of his. I swear he had so many action figures of different types and stuff. I thought it was a warehouse. It was like, it didn't look like someone's collection. It looked like a warehouse. So he is obviously someone who loves sci-fi and all of this stuff, which is just terrific. I'm also going to be, I've been helping out on the Center Seat series that's going to be on History Channel, and it's all about the 55 years of Star Trek, 8 episodes. It should
Wow.
be really cool. So I've been helping out on that, which is really fun.
And you mentioned, you know, just the amazing universe that Gene Roddenberry has envisioned and created, and it's going on like 55 years, and it's still a center of pop culture. They're still finding ways to keep it fresh and new. With Picard, the way that's been taking off, have they, I know we had John DeLancey on the show a couple years ago, and he's very cagey and said, no, I don't think I would ever do that show if they asked me to. Then he turns up on it. Have you filmed any episodes that you can mention? Have you been approached
it? No, I have not filmed anything, and nor do I have anything concrete. You know, I think it's going to be up to Patrick. I think, you know, I have the feeling that that's a possibility, but there is absolutely nothing that has been concretely asked. But you know, they've been delayed. They are finally filming now, but it's the pandemic really changed the course of things, and a lot of I would imagine a lot of series, they have to watch how many crowd scenes and things like that they have, because until we have herd immunity, it's tricky, you know. But I do think very highly of these new series. I think Picard has just a wonderful cast, and it's really took off. And also Discovery season 3, I became a big fan. So I really love the characters on that show, and I thought season 3 was amazing. Sonique was just amazing, and I can't wait to see the Anson Mount Ethan Peck show, because they are both fantastic actors and funny, and you know, it's amazing that it's going this long. Who would have thought that, right?
Absolutely. And the fact that like you said, there's so many great leads, both the male, female, that it doesn't matter person's color or gender, that they're these powerful, capable people. And you even mentioned in another interview I saw where you had 4 women come up to you and they said, we became surgeons because of the influence of Dr. Crusher. That's got to make you feel great.
Oh, it makes me so proud to be associated with the series, because if you can be in any way, or if a character, let's put it that way, the character I played can be a role model, as all of our characters were, it's one of the greatest things we can do with our lives, to provide something positive for people to think, oh yeah, it's really worth making the world better. It's worth making that effort. It's worth studying science and helping people with medicine. And I mean, I say that, and I know that not everybody can be Dr. Crusher and develop a vaccine for an entire planet in under 40 minutes. I know that, but you know, still, it's a role model. It might take longer, but it's the same idea. It's like scientists are just working, and people are so dedicated and determined. And look at what we're doing with space right now. I mean, the Mars rover,
yeah.
SpaceX. SpaceX, it's amazing. That goes up and it comes down and it lands again. I mean, that is just so remarkable. We're in an exciting time, and we just have to stay positive and collaborate, work together, and not just be so divisive. And, you know, we don't have to have everyone agree with us, and we don't have to think they're awful if they don't. We have to find a way to get along. And that's one of the reasons people who, even when they were fighting with their parents about things, they said the one show we would watch together would be Star Trek. And that's very wonderful, because it means that it meant we could all work together. There's some message about that, and accepting people and being tolerant, inclusive. These are really, really crucial things to us right now in this, you know, 2021.
Yeah, and especially the year we've had in 2020, one of the things that has gotten us through as a race has gotten us through 2020 has been the arts, has been theater, has been all the people who have done amazing things online to
right.
help get people through. And you obviously no stranger to theater, between directing, choreography, all the stuff that you've done. That's got to be another thing to see, the fact that arts has been lifting people up in probably one of the darkest times in recent memory. That's another great thing that to
yeah.
know you're a part of that, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's why in education, of course, they always cut arts and sports often first. But arts are crucial, because culture is built on the arts, and be it architecture, visual arts, performing arts of all kinds. I mean, it's really where we put all of our hopes and dreams so often, you know, and gives us ideas of how we can feed the world and how we can go travel to and explore out of outer space. I mean, it's really happening. So it's a kind of amazing time to be alive.
And talking about all the theater, the stuff you've done, when you look back now at your career, when you think about, you got to work with Jim Henson, and you got to, you know, help choreograph the late, great David Bowie. That's got to be so surrealistic to look back and think, wow, I did these things. That's kind of, as your perspective has changed throughout the years, that's got to be one of those things. It's like, this is a touchstone of my career.
And we'll take another quick break, come back and chat more with Gates McFadden. Please stand by.
Tell me why I love you like I do. Start my heart as much as you. Tell me all your secrets and I'll tell you most of mine.
Hello, I'm Robert Picardo, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager and Commander Woolsey from Stargate Atlantis. And you are listening to Geek to Me Radio, because you are no fool.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. Want to make sure we give a shout out to our premier sponsor, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. A great place to visit, especially now with things starting to open back up. People are wanting to get out. People are wanting to travel. And there's not a better place to travel to if you're looking for someplace to just kind of take it easy. Someplace where you just are going to see some beautiful scenery. Someplace where you're going to get some great food. If any of those things sound good, then you want to check out the website, DiscoverSt.Charles.com. That's DiscoverStCharles.com. You can find all sorts of things to see and do. Come down for one of the festivals. The festivals that they put on are just incredible. Elizabeth Phelps and Ryan Cooper over there at the CVB do a great job putting on all these things. It's amazing, the work that goes into it, and these festivals. People come from around the world for Christmas traditions and Legends and Lanterns. They literally plan their vacations for the holidays around these festivals in some cases, and it's worth it. The level of craft that goes into these. And even if you're not there for the festivals, if you're looking for someplace to eat, if you're in the greater St. Louis area and you want someplace new to go, you're kind of tired of the same old restaurants, head out to St. Charles. Lots of restaurants up and down North and South Main Street and even further out, right in that area, though, where you can just get some great, great meals. Tompkins House, we always recommend if you're just kind of wanting to pop out. Maybe grab a couple cocktails before you go see a movie at a Marcus Theaters or something like that. Just if you're out wanting to walk the dog and maybe hit up the Bike Stop Cafe for a quick and easy breakfast or brunch or lunch. There's all sorts of things. You can't have a bad meal along there is what I'm trying to say. Go to the website, check it out, whether you're in the St. Louis area or you're wanting to plan a trip coming from outside the Missouri area to St. Charles. The website's your best bet. And that's discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. Before we take that last break, we're chatting with Gates McFadden, looking back on her career and working with people like Jim Henson and David Bowie.
Well, you know, it's so odd because things would sort of just happen. And I think I was always so involved in the process that, I didn't always, you know, pinch myself and go, wow, that's David Bowie. Or, you know, he was so down to earth that he was just, he was Jared, you know, he was the Goblin King. And I think that I've learned so much. I didn't understand the power of Star Trek when I started by any means. And actually, I think I learned about Star Trek from the fans who, of whom I was terrified when I first did my first public appearances and conventions. But I really have done like 180 degree turn because, as you say, you meet people who have gone on to do what Star Trek was talking about. And that's impressive. So the power of the show is really pretty remarkable that it can bring people together. And most of our fans are very smart, which is, you know, I don't know how smart they are on some other shows. They probably are also very smart, but they're really people who follow the technology and are really interested and curious about the world and nature and what's out there and why are we here.
And it sounds like going from someone who wasn't really a fan in the beginning, it sounds like you keep up on everything. You were just talking off about the cast of Discovery and everything. So it sounds like you've kept forward with all the current shows and everything. You're very well versed in Star Trek now, it sounds.
Well, I don't want to label what it is, but I don't watch every single episode of everything, but I watch, you know, I'll watch two in a row and then I won't go necessarily in order. But, you know, I think it's because I've met people at conventions or at a gathering or something, and I've really liked them and been impressed with them as people, you know, and I thought, well, I'd love to see their work. That kind of is the first thing that draws me into seeing it. And then when the work is fantastic, you go, wow, that's really great. They're very talented and creative, but they're also incredibly nice. They care about, you know, we all raised money for Biden. Most all of us were doing that. And we were quite a strong collective there. It wasn't the Borg collective, but it was a very strong collective.
A better collective.
Well, I don't want to judge.
And we talked about the arts getting people through this pandemic. What has gotten you through 2020? Was there a show that you latched onto? Was it something, a new hobby you found? What kind of helped you get through 2020?
Well, I got my pickaxe and I started to go out in, I live on the top of a hill, and I had all these bushes and I was like, okay, I'm done. I want to, they take too much water. I'm going to get rid of these and I'm going to plant beautiful cactus and succulents of different types. And so it was a project, let me just tell you. And yes, I had to eventually get help because it was, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, but I did break one pickaxe and had to get another one. And it, now I'm really proud of how it looks. That was one thing. And then I also really got into, I speak French and I love to watch some of the really good French shows like The Bureau, which I highly recommend. It's like, oh, it's like a sort of CIA homeland thing, but it's one of the best shows I've seen in 10 years. It was really amazing. And several of us, we all turned each other on to different shows, and that was one. And just a bunch of shows like that. But I don't know. I think it was the podcast that kept me sane, to be honest, because I would really, it would take, since I was learning, setting up a sound studio and learning how to record and then edit and all the mistakes that I would make, you know, where I'd like lose something and I'd go, oh no, I just lost what I worked on for 45 minutes. I think that also helped to keep me sane because we became close. We have a group text and we were texting all the time all through it. And then eventually, you know, I had a backyard that was big enough for people to totally social distance with masks. And we all saw each other a few times and, you know, we'd go one-on-one out to lunch or I'd have somebody over for lunch. I think friendships were very, very important.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of the you find a group to get through the pandemic with, you can kind of hunker down with. That's a life-saving for a lot of people.
Yeah. So what did you do? I'm always interested. How did you get through?
I'm an introvert by nature, so a lot of reading, and I was able to binge watch a lot of shows. My wife and I just sat back and said, you know what? We keep saying, oh, we're going to watch that sometime. So we sat back and watched a bunch of episodes of different things and kind of caught up on the checklist of all the stuff we kind of said, we're going to watch that someday and never did.
Oh, that's great. See, I think that's wonderful. That's really cool.
It's definitely easier, I think, for introverts to get through this things like this. When someone tells you, stay home, don't leave your house, and just find something to do, it's like, all right, I've been doing this since I was a, you know, latchkey kid, so it's great.
Well, I'm definitely an introvert, too. I talk about that with some of my castmates, because some of them are more extroverted, and some of them are total extroverts, and some are sort of mixed in between. But I certainly think of myself as an introvert. You know, again, once I had my reading glasses, which I didn't have for the first 2 months because I had to get a new prescription, then I could read. I could catch up on the New Yorkers and read some novels and stuff. It was a bit like the Twilight Zone episode, you know, when the man is finally alone with all the books and he steps on his glasses and he can't read. I couldn't really read all of my small print books, and it was driving me crazy. But, you know, it feels like we've gone through three lifetimes in this last year, that the stress of the election, the stress of the pandemic, but I now know even more of my neighbors because so many of us were walking around outside and I don't know. I think I'm feeling hopeful. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Hopefully that's that we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, I think, with everything hopefully coming to a close.
And we're starting to realize how much accountability we need in this country.
Yes, absolutely, that as well. Yes, for sure. And you talked about having some of your friends here on the podcast. And again, Investigates, Who Do You Think You Are? That'll be on May 12th, I believe, is when the first episode drops. Who was the one who surprised you the most? What was something you got into or someone revealed something that just shocked you? You didn't realize it either took you aback or just pleasantly surprised you?
I think... that's hard to say. I think Will and Nana maybe were the ones that I was. And then also there was something with Brent that was pretty shocking. I don't know, you know. I think I was just with all of them. I became fonder and fonder of them. I really, and, you know, I listened to them for hours, and I kept hearing myself and going, oh, gosh, get her out. Who's that person? You know, like, so get her out. But I don't know. I think I'm very impressed with everybody that I interviewed, and I mean that genuinely. I think, you know, maybe I'll let you know when I get a couple bad apples, but so far I haven't had one.
Fingers crossed that it keeps the streak going then. We've got a good run. And we, as mentioned, you're a choreographer. You worked with the great David Bowie. You also got to choreograph Brent Spiner, who you just mentioned in an episode of Data's Day. You got to direct an episode of Genesis. And before I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, of all the episodes of Star Trek, you have, what is your favorite and why is that episode your favorite?
And one last commercial break. We're going to take it now, and then we'll come back and wrap up our talk with Gates McFadden, talking all about her podcast, Investigates. Who Do You Think You Are? We'll get into her favorite Star Trek episode and more. Stand by.
What a mixture. Such a vivid picture. What a mixture. If I must say so myself.
Hi, this is Nichelle Nichols, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back for the final segment on Geek to Me Radio. Make sure you check out the website, geektomeradio.com. It's been brand new. Jeff Shelton and Gary Capps did a great job bringing everything up, and it's a gorgeous website. Hopefully you'll check it out, geektomeradio.com. We've got a list of all of our other celebrity interviews on there. You can find ways to contact us and connect with us here at the show. We do like hearing from the listeners, and we appreciate it if you would check out geektomeradio.com. Finishing up our chat with Gates McFadden, we'd asked her right before we took that last break about her favorite episode of Star Trek. Plus, we're going to play Celebrity This or That.
Well, my favorite was the directing, just because I think I just love directing, and I loved trying new things on this ship that I had been, or the sets that I'd been working on, and I wanted to try to use them in ways that you know, maybe no one had used them quite that way. So that was really fun, and it was an unusual episode, more of a spooky episode. Mm. But I also, I loved any moments of comedy that were far and few between, but I do love comedy enormously, so that was really fun, and any time you could come up with something creatively. Now, on that said, when something was really challenging, like Remember Me, being alone with the ship and how to make it interesting, and all, I loved that, and I loved the episode that introduced the Trill. I mean, there were many episodes that were really great, and also episodes like First Contact, which it was not about Dr. Crusher at all, but I found them so fascinating, and I thought the Borg were the most amazing enemy you could ever imagine. So there were just, you know, I don't think I think of it in terms of just what is my very favorite as much as there's a lot of different moments, you know?
Yeah, it's more like a garden as opposed to a perfect prize rose. You have a garden full of beautiful flowers.
So. Yeah.
And before I let you go, we'd like to play a game called Celebrity This or That. There are no wrong answers because the correct answer is the one you pick. I simply give you a list of two things, and you tell me which one is your favorite. So if we start out, Beatles or the Stones?
Beatles.
And how about crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Smooth.
Billy Joel or Elton John?
Billy Joel.
If we're going to vacation, mountains or beach?
Oof, that's hard. Beach.
And this one's special for you because I know you're a Francophile. Marseille or Nice?
I'd go to my own house, which is in Languedoc. I mean, I love Paris. I don't, you know, Nice would not be where I'd go. It's more of a jet setter place. Versailles, sure. If someone would let me have that as an Airbnb for the night,
right,
with staff, I'll
no
take
doubt.
It. But I don't think I'd feel comfortable staying more than a night. But I could hang out in the garden with a tent.
Yeah, who couldn't? That's such a gorgeous area.
They're so beautiful, right?
This has been an absolute delight to speak with you. You're such a vivacious and sparkling individual. And again, we want to make sure that you check out the podcast from the Nassail Company. It is Investigates, Who Do You Think You Are?, hosted by Gates McFadden. Continued success to you, and we need to have you back on at some point to talk about going forward with the second series of these.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much, James.
That's going to do it. My thanks once again to my guests, Ming Chen and Gates McFadden. Make sure you check out Ming Chen and his multiple podcasts. Go follow him on Facebook, and he's always got a link coming up to where you can catch him. Also, make sure you check out Investigates, Who Do You Think You Are?, a brand new podcast from the Nassail Company featuring Gates McFadden. Fantastic. I can't wait to dig into that and hear more about those episodes. Thank you again to Joey B for making this sound as good as it does every week. And until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound be. It's not in the way you watch the flash. It's not in the way you love Scotty Young Art. It's not in the way you
That's our show. This is Geek to Me Radio.
Thank you, Farpoint Station. Good night. This is James Enstall, host of Geek to Me Radio, and I have a mission for you.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
The next time you want to buy something from Amazon, go to geektomeradio.com first and click our Amazon affiliate link. Simply shop like you normally would, and when you check out, a small percentage will go to supporting the show. So remember, the next time you want to search Amazon for the latest Game of Thrones Blu-ray or Sonic screwdriver, click through from geektomeradio.com first.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.